This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the fan for another 2 hours until Richard Neer takes over. We started the show with the rumors that Matt Stafford may get traded to the Giants. And personally speaking, I think that that is a mistake. The Giants just watched the New York Jets go through two seasons of hell with Aaron Rodgers. Now, I understand Matt Stafford's not as old as Aaron Rodgers, but the fact is it's a similar situation. You have an older vet quarterback that doesn't have much left in the tank, and you're going to go and trade for him for draft picks, and then what's going to happen? The problem is, the Jets at least thought they were a win-now team. The Giants are not a win-now team. They're not even close to it. And I'd much rather see Joe Shane go out and use those draft picks on actual players when you saw what he did with last year's draft class. You saw he basically was 6-for-6 with his picks. Why are we trading for a Hail Mary in Matt Stafford? Why are you doing that? Now, I know there's rumors that, you know, Cooper Kupp is going to be available too, so maybe Stafford and Kupp both come to the Giants. Is that winning you enough games to get to the playoffs? Are you guys going deep in the playoffs? Like, that is my biggest question. That is my biggest gut reaction is, I don't know if this team with any quarterback is going to go to the playoffs. So that's just a harsh reality of you're going to go and make a mistake like the Jets did, and that means, to me, you're going the same way of don't expect this regime to be around too long. And I hate that. I hate that because I like Joe Shane. I like Brian Daboll. I think that they're close to really building a good franchise, make some level of sustained success, you know, where we could actually see that this team is building in the right direction for a change. Like, John Merritt does not want to go through another coaching change anytime soon. He doesn't want to go through another GM change anytime soon. But if you go all in on a Hail Mary and it backfires, then what are we doing? Now, again, like I said, if you tell me that they're going to get a quarterback, a vet quarterback like that, and draft a quarterback, not start that quarterback that you draft and kind of work them in and have them learn under Stafford, listen, again, that is very similar to the Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers situation. The only difference is you're hoping that there's no injuries, that whoever you draft can actually learn something from Aaron Rodgers. And the good part is that you're not going to look to get rid of this quarterback in the that you draft in the next year or two, because he's going to be backing up and not starting. Unlike Zach Wilson, where you bring in Aaron Rodgers and after four snaps, Zach Wilson's back in the game. So you got to hope that the Giants at least have a little bit more reasonable sensibility about how they're going to approach this. But you never know. Like, maybe it is Matt Stafford and Tommy DeVito's backing him up. You don't know. I just hope that they make the right moves, because I don't want to see another regime change. I really don't. And that's what, like, the writing was on the wall when Aaron Rodgers came in. Like, that was the first thing I said once I heard Aaron Rodgers was being talked about with this Jets team. I go, oh, well, Robert Saleh is not long for this place. And neither is Joe Douglas. This is basically all in, and good luck. And if you miss the playoffs, see you later. They're both lucky they got another year out of the job, because if they were this bad the first year with Aaron Rodgers, they would have been done then. But they got they escaped with the fact that he got hurt in the first four plays of the season. Again, I just hope that the Giants have, you know, at least understand what potentially they can get going to get involved with. Because, again, no matter what you want as a Giant fan, the one thing you actually want is sustained success. You want stability. You do not want, oh, here we go again, another losing season. Let's go get another coach. Let's go bring in somebody else. You don't want that. You want to start building. Think about the coaches that have had the best success. Think about Mike Tomlin. I mean, people talk about Mike Tomlin, getting rid of Mike Tomlin. The guy continuously makes playoffs every year with bad situations. I mean, that's incredible. Why would the Steelers get rid of him? I know they're not winning a Super Bowl, but, like, he keeps getting... He's basically pulls a Yankees every single year, like, finds a way to get them to the playoffs, even when they're not that good. It's pretty crazy. And he did it with Russell Wilson last year, who, by the way, is another option for the Giants, and I don't want them to go that route either. I'd prefer them to go the Sam Darnold route. I'd prefer them to go another route that's a little bit cheaper, that you don't have to overcommit to, maybe a one-year deal type of thing. But again, they're in a rough spot. But I would not. I listen, and there's a ton of pieces this offseason that are available via trade, via free agency. There's so many pieces, and they have so much money now available to them. They're in a good spot. Just don't make that fatal move. That's all I'm begging for. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to these phone calls. Rob wants to talk about Mets and Marcus Stroman. What's up, Rob, from Midtown?
I do want to talk about both of those things. But first off, I have to give you credit where credit is due. Digital Bath, White Pony album, fantastic, but nowhere yes. near as cool. Nowhere near as cool as You Made My Night, Huff, with Eels, Novocaine for the Soul.
Oh, I love that song. Yes. Oh, yeah.
1996, I was graduating high school.
Really? Oh, I was graduating grade school in 96.
You consider yourself lucky, Huff. It all goes downhill in the next couple of years. You got to use pills. It's not fun. You know what I mean? But it made my night. And again, that's more of an indictment on how miserable I am. But still, great music, and I appreciate you keeping the genre alive, because SOU is trash right now. They only play that hardcore nonsense that I can't get into.
You know what, and, Rob, by the way, I will tell you this much. I have this strange feeling, and I was thinking about this, because music goes in waves, and obviously, like, you know, rock grunge had its moments in the 90s. I think it's going to make a turn in the next 5 or 6 years where that type of style is going to come back again.
Well, I will say one thing, and I know that you and I have similar feelings on the guy, but you know, we're not big fans. Eddie Vedder tonight at the 50th anniversary SNL thing.
I saw him there. I didn't hear what he said, but yeah, tell me.
Tremendous job covering Tom Petty, Waiting.
Ooh.
Right? And that's a song he can do.
Yeah.
Right? You have him do Into the Great Wide Open. It's a disaster. And he's very one-dimensional. I'll tell you what it is, Huff. It's all, I seem to recognize. That's him.
Yeah.
Right? But he did a great job tonight. And I'm just happy it's somebody in the genre. The genre is relevant for the last 2 days because of the Billy Corgan being Bill Burr's brother thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy that.
But did you see the post?
My favorite genre is out there.
Oh wait, did you see Post Malone and Nirvana?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
and again,
I played.
We
that
disagree
earlier.
On this,
right?
We disagree on this. I'm not a big Nirvana guy.
That's fine. That's fine. But listen, if you got to check it out. Post Malone and Nirvana. They came out at we played it like around 140.
Novoselic and Dave Grohl
and Pat Smear came out too.
Smear,
So it was Post Malone, and this is not the first time that Post Malone has covered Nirvana before. He did it with Travis Barker during the pandemic. They did a whole hour set, and it was awesome. And Post Malone feels like, you know what? Like when I was a musician when I was younger, and Kurt Cobain had, you know, he killed himself, you know, unfortunately, and it was tragic, and it affected my life miserably in a way because I loved his music, and it just was very, very, very weird.
That's how I felt about Weiland when Weiland died.
Right,
I was older.
Right, exactly.
I was almost 30 when Weiland died, but it was like, you know, this is someone who you end up having a great affection for these people.
Yes.
Because of what they contribute to the world, and to know that there's not going to be any more contributions, it's very, very debilitating in the moment. So I understand completely.
No question. So, and I'm 12 when Kurt Cobain had killed himself. So when I was a musician and I was like young and had aspirations of being like, you know, this, you know, successful, you know, musician and writing music and all this other stuff, like that was my goal was, you know what, at the very least, I would love to be able to maybe fill in if they were ever to do like a Nirvana cover and Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic and Pat got back together. Yeah. I would love to be that guy to just jump in and play along with them. That would be awesome. And instead, you know, obviously Foo Fighters did their thing and, you know, and they went their own separate ways. But Post Malone has basically taken that role. And honestly, there's no one better than him that could do it. I mean, he's perfect. You got to watch him.
I got to be honest with you. The guy who took over after Lane died with the AIC.
Oh, yeah. Great.
He's phenomenal.
Fantastic. And I got to tell you something. I saw them live years ago. I want to say about 10, 15 years ago. It was Deftones and Alice in Chains played at MSG.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was there. Probably 2009, I want to say, or 8.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it was middle of the summer, hot out. Remember it well.
Yeah.
I was there.
And they, phenomenal. And the cover, when they did a song that Lane would sing, it blew me away because
When they do Nutshell, I tear up. Right?
Yes.
Because Nutshell is as close to a cry for help on Wax that you can get. And to know how it concluded just so morbidly, it just rips me apart. I can't hear Nutshell without getting, you know.
It's a beautiful song.
And it's a simple song, but it's so beautiful. And that's why, you know, I love your transition music.
Well, thank
because
you.
Because you keep the genre alive on here. And I think we're the only ones that know what we were just talking about for the last 5 minutes. But you know what? No one has any idea who the Eels are, right? But you know what? I appreciate your taste in music, Huff. It is, the reason I listen to the show is obviously your content, but the music is tremendous.
Well, I really do try. I really do try. Thank you very much. And Jack's doing a great job on the other side to make sure that he's researching and finding these songs, so I appreciate him too.
Nah, it's a great playlist, man. I'm gonna have to put the Eels on a playlist on my Spotify. Yeah, and that'll be the first time since '96, back when I didn't have to carry a porta potty with me everywhere I went. Back when I had a future. But those are the old days. Now I gotta focus on the future of the New York Mets, team that I love.
Yes, talk to me about it.
Happy Pete is back because the alternatives weren't good. Right? I'm not gonna sit here and say that I'm jazzed, but I give him that mulligan for last year because you know what? He's an emotional dude.
Yeah.
And the specter of him wanting to pull an Aaron Judge in his walk year had to be there for him because that precedent was set just a year and a half earlier. So you got to feel for the guy, and he is a Met, and he's a dork. He's a relatable dork, and there's nothing bad about the guy. But you're right. What you said earlier about 10 minutes ago about he was being kicked out of the door by us before he hit that home run in game three against the Brewers. Nobody wanted the guy back.
No.
But, listen, I'm happy he's back because I didn't want Torkelson. Let's be real here. I didn't want Ryan Mountcastle. I didn't want these guys.
It was when I started hearing those names, dude, I wanted to put my head through a wall. Like, you know that Spencer Torkelson, I know that he was a first-round pick with Detroit, and he put up 30 home runs one year or close to it. Guy's been a bust.
That's right.
I don't want to have any more let's bring in
you don't
this
sign
project.
Juan Soto to put garbage around him. That's what the Yankees do. I love Yankee fans. Oh, what did we do this offseason? Why don't you do it last offseason? Right? When you knew you had the guy at a reasonable price for 1 year. Why didn't you fill up the roster then? Right? I don't understand. They do all this cosmetic nonsense. They put the flex tape on the leak, and they get into the playoffs every year. It's just, and I'm not going to bash the Yankees too much, but this whole Stroman situation. When are we going to stop acting like Stroman isn't at best a league average pitcher? I don't understand. For all the trouble he brings, and I don't blame him for this. I blame the Yankees for this because you don't go out and insinuate in any way in media that the reason you can't sign another player is because Marcus Stroman's contract exists.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's just a circus. And you know what, Huff? You know what the best part is for us Mets fans? That was the kind of circus that used to be in Flushing.
Yes.
100%. And it ain't there anymore. It's in the Bronx. And you know what? Listen, again, an indictment on how empty my life is, Huff. And I wish I was Bill Belichick. Let me tell you something. If I became a billionaire, you know what? I'd get married every night and then divorced an hour later with a $1,000 settlement, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, yes. Rob, I understand. As Joe Benigno would say, I understand, bro. I understand.
Next week is spring training, Huff, and that is hope springs eternal.
Yes.
And honestly, look, I'm a Mets fan since I was in the bassinet watching Craig Swan win the ERA title. Mm. I didn't know what life was until about 83, 84. So the Mets were already good in 84. Right? But this is the most excited I've been since I was a child. And I don't get excited about things anymore the way I used to.
I feel you.
I just don't have the energy.
Yeah. I feel you. I got to be honest with you. And Rob, I got to take a break here, but thanks so much for a phone call, as always, man.
Always fun, Huff. You're the man.
No, you too, Rob. I appreciate you. That is like when Pete Alonso finally signed, I was so tired. I didn't even care anymore. I'm like, all right, whatever. Maybe it's the fact that you have him for 1 year. Maybe it's a short-term contract. So I was like, all right, whatever. But Juan Soto, I was like, let's go. I got amped. Pete Alonso was like, yeah, whatever. And that's what I felt like when Sean Manaea came back and when they signed Griffin Canning and when Frankie Montas. I couldn't even get pissed anymore. It was so ridiculous. 888-808-1019. Eddie, Andre, Peter, Mitchell, Ralph, I will get to you guys. We'll all talk about Marcus Stroman and Pete Alonso and whatever else you guys want to talk about. 888-808-1019. It's Pete Hoff with you on The Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on The Fan for another hour and a half till Richard Neer takes over. Let's get to these phone calls. Eddie is in Dallas. What's up, Eddie? How you doing?
Doing good, Pete. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
You know,
happy belated Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Let's not go crazy. But, were those all paid commercial spots in that last little break? That was, if so, impressive.
Yes, there was a lot going on there. It's all because of me.
Pumping the volume. All right, a couple of things. Let me get out of the way with you, just because I appreciate you when you are on and hit the radio station. I want to congratulate you on your job as the GM now. The next team, they're going to try to pump this sport up in Long Island, and I really wish you all the best.
It's not.
If I still lived in Long Island, I would love to help you out.
Eddie, it's not Peter Schwartz. It's Pete Hoffman. So, no, Schwartz is the guy who's got the
G. Did I just confuse that? Well, yes, I did. Okay, fair enough. Well, that gives me one kudos down. I'm down one spot. All right. What I'm calling for is very simple. And this goes for all the hosts of WFEN, who are amongst the most knowledgeable and all the least knowledgeable all at the same time in sports. And the reason why I say that, and I'll give you a perfect example, Evan is obviously an incredibly knowledgeable baseball guy, but at the same token, he couldn't hit a fastball if it hit him over the head. And the fact is, you guys miss so much of the obvious. This is so obvious, a child can figure it out. And this is what I'm getting at to make it very clear and concise. Pete Alonso is a prodigious power hitter, mega force that hits this town like nobody's business. Beat the Yankee home run record in his first year. Has done nothing but smash the ball in the puck. And you guys want to nitpick at him. Oh, well, he hit 1 year, he hit 217. Last year, he hit 240. Whatever. This is a guy. This isn't Dave Kingman. This is one of the great players to ever put on a Met uniform. And if we just allow him to be, he will continue to be. And he is 30. He's not 35. And he has years left of major production in front of him.
And to piggyback, Eddie, to piggyback off of that comment just there, he hasn't even taken a swing yet as a 30-year-old in a major league game. Like, he just turned 30.
What is 30? I'm 50. I'm going to be 58 in June. What is 30? I can still knock a ball around the park a little bit. Get out of here with this. This guy has stepped into a Major League Baseball uniform after they didn't even give him the chance right away in the minors. Jeff McNeil got the shot before him. Ridiculous. And all he's done is produce. And if you want to talk about RBI numbers, pull him up. They had one last hit. They're killing him because he had 80-something RBIs. And this guy is what every Major League Baseball team needs. It's what a Juan Soto needs in that lineup. And not to mention, he doesn't need Juan Soto because he's gotten the job done without it. But that aside, this team is what you want to do. And everybody out there, listen, you want to kick back. Enjoy the show. This could be a show. And with the Yankees, who they are, and the Mets, who they are, we're heading towards title town, very perhaps. And all I can tell you, is Pete Alonso is going to be a major reason as to why. And then everybody else, you shuffle them all together, and hopefully we can get some good things out of it. But, oh, my God, I've never seen a guy as prodigious as Pete Alonso take so much gap in this town. New York is a funny town.
Eddie, I think you nailed it. You're perfect phone call. Thanks so much for the phone call. I am 100% in line with Eddie right there. Like, I've always been that way. I've always said that Pete Alonso is a special player. Is, you know, I know it's a power hitter, and that's all he's got. He's just got one thing, one dimension. That one dimension drives in runs. Like, I know last year it was a bad year for him, but like, even in bad years for Pete Alonso, he's driven in 120 RBIs. Like, that's really good. He could bat 217 and still drive in 120 RBIs. I'll take that 217. So let's relax a little bit with some of the numbers. The most important things is driving in runs. And if he can do that, if he's batting 150 and he drives in 150 RBIs, I'll take it. Andre's in the Bronx. What's going on, Andre?
Hey, how you doing, pal?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, listen, man, I'm a Yankee fan, right? And I just don't think, like, what they're selling is crazy, man. And everything is the salary cap, luxury tax, and all of that. But this team is not going to be able to hit. Like, I think the pitching is going to be really good. But they're not, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, even last year when they had Soto, you know, they went through times when they just couldn't hit. And, I mean, you know, they're a year older. I mean, you know, I think Aaron Judge is going to be really good again, but, you know, they're not putting enough real talent around him to, you know, be able to get to the next level.
You have to hope that Cody Bellinger is back to when he was close to, like, an MVP status, you know? Like, you got to hope
that's not happening.
I don't think
No. That Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger thing, no. I mean, that's not going to do it. See, I really wanted them, after they signed Max Fried, I wanted them to sign Corbin Burns and give them, like, that dominant starting pitching, right? Because you can win that way. I mean, the Washington Nationals won that way. You know, you can win that way. But, you know, the pitching staff is really, really good. But, like, where are the hitters? Like, where are your bats at? You know what I'm saying? I don't see the bats.
Well, they're relying on Anthony Volpe, who they think now in a third season that he's going to get better. You're relying on, obviously, Aaron Judge. You're relying on the fact that, you know, they think that Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt are going to give you a lot more than what you got last year from, you know, Anthony Rizzo and some other players. Jason Dominguez, they think, is going to be, you know, a significant bat in this lineup. So I know, but again, like, hey, listen, this is what they think. There's really the only position right now that's kind of up for grabs, and it's still DJ LeMahieu somehow, is third base. I mean, that to me is outrageous. What you do have, though, and you have to remember, is you have Jazz Chisholm for a full year, and you gotta hope. Yeah. You have to hope that they're gonna get to Jazz and get him to change his approach, because last year he was swinging out of his shoes. You know, that's basically Miami lets him do. Miami Marlins have no really good techniques. They have no strategy. You know, the Schumacher really couldn't coach that team at all. And honestly,
well, let's just hope.
What's that?
Well, let's just hope that let's just hope that he makes the best of spring training, because I think that, you know, during spring training, and that's what it's for, I think that you can get him to have a different approach.
Right.
And he could actually have an all-star, you know, type of year. But I'm saying that even before they brought Jazz into the fold, and after they did, there was times last year where the Yankees just didn't hit, and that was with Soto. So now, you know, I mean, like, what do we do? Come on, guy. I mean, help me out here. What player can we bring in?
There's not many more moves left. I mean, when you think about offseason moves, the one that's really left is the Nolan Arenado move. Like, that's kind of it. Like, that's
well,
the
he doesn't want to come to New York. He already said that, well, him and his family don't want to come here.
No, they would do it. They would do it. They would do it. If it's right, they'd do it. They got him. Listen, the Cardinals have to move him. Here's the big thing: is are the Yankees gonna get rid of Stroman? And they look like they want to. And I think that's dumb, because I think Stroman has something left in the tank. And again,
yes, he does.
And here's the other thing, Andre. And thank you so much for the phone call. Here's the other thing. Like I said earlier, you need depth in your rotation. I'm not saying the Yankees are gonna go to a 6-man rotation. But right now they have 5 guys. That's what they have. They have Gerrit Cole, who got injured last year. They have Max Fried, who they signed, who's coming off of injury. You have Carlos Rodon, who usually gets injured. Last year he surprisingly didn't, but typically he usually gets injured or he just stinks. Luis Gil, who's coming off of a season for the first time of playing a full season. And Clark Schmidt, who was also hurt last year. So the likelihood of all 5 of those pitchers pitching the entire season, 0. Ugats. So, like, Marcus Stroman has a role on this team, if they allow it. I don't know if they're going to want to allow it, but then if they don't have Marcus Stroman, who's the next guy? Who comes in after that? That's the question. 888-808-1019. Peter is in Lawrence. What's up, Peter?
Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you enjoyed your day.
Thank you very much. Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. I did enjoy. As everyone heard in the beginning of the show, my wife and I, we went at it for about 3 or 4 hours with a nice puzzle. And it was good. We had a good time.
Good. Good to hear.
Yes.
You know, welcome to the return of the Bronx Zoo.
Okay.
Because with Marcus Stroman, you know, I analyzed the situation. He's hurting himself by not coming to spring training and showing what he has left in the tank.
No, he's there. He's back.
Yeah, but he...
He didn't miss anything. He didn't miss any time. Like, it was all CBA stuff. Everything he did was solid under the CBA. Like, he didn't miss any actual time. He showed up yesterday. He's fine.
Okay, and welcome back, Pete Alonso. Now I can eat my pancakes in peace. The only thing the Mets need is a better rotation.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the one last move that they may be able to make is maybe make a trade for Dylan Cease. Michael King is not moving. The way that they put that contract, and Peter, thank you so much for the phone call. The way they worked Michael King's contract, he ain't moving. It's a 2-year deal. Cease is up for grabs because this is it. This 1 year and free agency. So I don't know if the Mets are going to really inquire, because I'm sure the Padres, like typically they do, they're going to want an arm and a leg for their pitcher. So I was asked earlier by BT, would I trade Jett Williams for Dylan Cease? And I said no. And confusion was there. Well, because don't you need another pitcher? Yeah, but I am not giving up a prospect for a rental. And I pretty much... unless that rental is Cy Young himself, I'm not giving up a rental. Like, I need a pitcher who is going to win the Cy Young this year. Dylan Cease is not winning the Cy Young. Dylan Cease is not going to be that type of pitcher. Dylan Cease is not going to have an ERA close to 2. He's not going to have, you know, he might strike out a lot of guys, but he's not going to have those numbers where you're just like, he's unhittable. Dylan Cease is going to be hittable. Dylan Cease is going to give you an ERA like 3.95, close to 4. He'll strike out, you know, 200-plus guys. He'll pitch close to 200 innings. But he's going to get hit around here. He's going to have some bad games, good games, whatever. Average pitcher. I'm not giving up Jett Williams for a rental. And here's why. Because especially Jett Williams. Now, I'm not really sure I'd give up Clifford or Cunha or anybody for him either. But... like, Jett Williams specifically, he's the one prospect that has been playing center field. Like, that's the closest position that's coming up next is center field. Like, obviously with McNeil, when they finally get rid of him or they move on from him, that's a spot for Acuna potentially or whomever else. Maybe it's Brett Beatty. Who knows? If he plays second base, I know he's going to get some reps there. But Jett Williams is the guy playing center field. He's getting reps at center field. Like, that spot, Tyrone Taylor and Jose Siri are not going to be center fielders for the next 10 years in New York Mets uniform. It's not happening. Jett Williams could, and he's not that far away. So why would I trade a guy that's not that far away for a guy that's only going to pitch for us for a year and then have to figure out, well, what's the plan now for center field? That's like what the Jets and the Giants and like the Jets getting Aaron Rodgers and the Giants thinking about getting Matt Stafford. Like, okay, cool, you got a quarterback who's going to be here for another year, and then what are you doing? Who's up next? You could have drafted a quarterback, but you didn't, and you got an old guy who's not going to be here in 2 years. What's next? I don't want to think about what's next. If I got what's next in the house, I don't want to give that away. And again, if it was a different level of pitcher, maybe I'd think about it. Maybe I'd make that move. If you told me Logan Webb from the Giants is available, I'll give up Jett Williams. If you told me that, I don't want to say Zach Wheeler, he's a little too old. But still, someone that's close to, you know, Zach Gallen. I like Zach Gallen. Last year wasn't as good of a year for him. But if Zach Gallen was available, I think about that. I think about that trade. I'm not giving up for a 1 year. Not doing it. 888-808-1019. Mitchell, Ralph, Kevin, we'll get to your calls coming up next on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN.
888-808-1019. Pete Hoff with you on The Fan for another hour 10. Let's get back to these phone calls. You can always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN, 888-808-1019. Mitchell is in Fort Lee. Mitchell, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Hoffman. I'm good. How you doing, big guy? Everything good?
I am fantastic. What's going on with you,
number
sir?
Number one, March 3rd, you want to go with us? We're going to the Islander Ranger game. You want to go?
Hold on. I got to look at my schedule now. Now, you put me on the spot right here. Why did you just text me?
Okay. I did. I called you yesterday, but you didn't answer. I tried to call you when I was trying to get the tickets with Sal. So
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I think I was what was I doing? I was with my wife. What time did you call me?
I don't remember. After the show, I called. But,
right.
So, whatever. All right. No big deal.
All right. March 3rd is a Monday. I think yes. Let's lock that in. Let's do that.
You're in. Okay. Founders. So you're in. Okay, I'll tell Sal. So we need a fifth. That's perfect.
Yes.
Number two. Let's get down to the Yankees now. You know, everyone complains about the Yankees didn't spend any money. First of all, they did spend money. You know, these baseball teams, except for the Dodgers, that spend all this money, but they don't pay for it because they defer everything, is a complete joke. I mean, the Dodgers have so much money, deferred money, that they're never going to pay that debt because they're going to sell the team before they pay that money off. So the Yankees have the top three salaries in Major League Baseball. What is everyone complaining about? How much more do you want them to spend? I mean, the Mets spend money, but they're not higher than the Yankees, are they?
I think the Mets are now after the Alonso thing, but let me just hold on 1 second. I'll comment on this and then you go to the next point. Because Mitchell, I don't disagree. Like, I'm one of those guys where I want the Mets, the Yankees, they should go out and get, like, be competitive with the Dodgers. But the Dodgers have a cheat code. They figured out that they were able to defer all this money, like you said. The biggest star in the game chose to not just defer some money, he deferred like 98% of his contract. That should be illegal.
But I agree with you. Because if you go by football, if they defer it, the team has to put that money in a bank account so they can't say, well, we don't have the money. So down the road, they can't hurt the other owners. So I think it's a crack of you-know-what on that part of it. That's how I feel.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Number two, everyone says about the Yankees. Listen, if you look at the Yankee pit, if you look at the Yankee team right now, they have they have the top three pitching staffs in baseball, top three, okay? Their bullpen is really strong. And the only thing they're missing is, how I feel is they're missing a third baseman. And everyone's complaining about, don't get Arenado or whatever else. If they can make a trade and get him and they're not going to have to get all their money, why not do it? Because if they were to do it. Because also, remember, he's also there with Goldsmith. He already played together for a couple of years. It'll make the team better, and the locker room will be better off doing it that way. So I don't see a problem if they don't have to eat money. But if they take him, they're going to have to spend some money. And with Stroman, you know, it's amazing because you have to give the guy a little credit here for Stroman for one reason. He doesn't want to be in the bullpen. He wants to be a starting pitcher. I understand that. But, again, it comes down to, like, even with Torres, well, we want you to go to third base, and we don't go to third base. Well, guess what? I don't care. You do what's best for the team. And if the Yankees give Stroman what he wants, it's going to hurt him because what's going to happen is you're not going to put Heel or Schmidt in the bullpen. If you do that, then there'll be one of my biggest mistakes the Yankees ever did with Cashman. I'm a big Cashman fan. So Stroman should just suck it up and say, take your choice. But I'll find a team to go take me, or go to the bullpen. If we need you down the road, like you just said to the other caller before, because you need more starting pitching, that's what I would do. Because it's, you know, these professional athletes, they run the teams. The teams don't run the baseball players. The players run the baseball team. Would you agree there?
Right, but here's the thing, though. And listen, with Stroman, there's a lot to it, okay? Because right now we're sitting here saying that everyone's healthy, that all five pitchers are healthy, and you're good to go. Well, first of all,
The likelihood of all five pitchers being healthy the entire season is slim to none. So Stroman has an opportunity to still pitch a lot this season as a starter.
Right.
And then second of all, why, like, the Mets are purposely going to a six-man rotation to help with Kodai Senga. Why aren't the Yankees going to a six-man rotation? Why are they not going that route?
I'll tell you why. My first opinion is, you have pitchers on there that pitch for 5 days, and that's how they are. I mean, Cole's always pitched on 5 days, and even with his big injury last year, he came back, he pitched not the first two games, but at the end, he pitched by himself. I mean, some teams are able to do it, but again, here's the problem. If you go to a six-man rotation, and that doesn't work, then what do you do? But what do you do then? If you go to a six-man rotation, why don't all these other teams go to six-man rotation? Because they
want to
pitch every 5 days.
Right. Listen, you pay them enough, they should be able to do that. But here's the thing. And Mitchell, thanks so much for the phone call. I got to take a break here. But I'll see you March 3rd, I guess. But that being said, though, the fact that the Yankees have an opportunity to maybe go a six-man route, you get to save some innings with some arms that maybe, especially early on, you say that, you want to ramp these people up. You want to ramp people up, but also we're so protective. We can only go five innings here, and then the 80 pitches, and then maybe 90 pitches, then 100 pitches. All this, if you just get them a six-man rotation, and the first couple games you can go as deep as you want. Maybe you can let them go a little bit further, because guess what? They're ramped up through spring training. No, aren't they ramped up in spring training? So you should be able to go the first game a little bit longer and not have to worry about recovery. You have a six-man rotation and you get the recovery is in itself because you have an extra day. It makes sense that you do that, especially if you have a six pitcher. I understand who's more valuable on the field more, Cole or Stroman. You want Cole pitching more than Marcus Stroman. But here's the other thing. If Gerrit Cole gets hurt this season, Marcus Stroman's pitching. If Carlos Rodon gets hurt, Marcus Stroman's pitching. So one way or the other, Marcus Stroman's going to get pitching time. So why don't you just build it in and then hopefully prevent any injuries from occurring anyway? I mean, there's other ways, as I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I don't know how to skin a cat. I've never done it before, but that's a saying that people say. There's more than one way to go about your rotation. I know that because the Mets do it. There's openers you can go. Go ask the Tampa Bay Rays. You can do openers. You can do not a thousand different things, but a bunch of different options for a starting rotation. The Yankees have a ton of options. There's no reason to get rid of a starting pitcher right now. Even one that makes $18 million. Let me explain something to you. There was a year where the Mets did pretty well. They went to the playoffs and felt like they were close to getting back. They missed. They felt like they were close to getting back. And they, I feel like they traded away a guy in Chris Benson, who, by the way, when he left, it didn't do much. But there was a few guys that left the rotation. I think this was around 2006-ish. And then all of a sudden, everyone got hurt. They didn't have enough in the rotation. They didn't have a starting pitcher that they could go to. Well, you kind of have to have that. You have to know that you're going to go to 7th, 8th, 9th man in the rotation. Most rotations, you're going to go deep into the minor leagues to go and grab up a player here or there. There's going to be call-ups. So if you have someone in Stroman, I'm not saying you're going to send them down to begin the season, but you have to know that there's a ton of value there. He's already on the team. If you get rid of him, you're going to have to find that guy. You know Stroman could do it. You know Stroman is a warrior on that mound. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Ralph Stewart will get to you guys after the break. One more hour to go. 888-808-1019. It's Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff WFAN. But now an update. Marco Belletti.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.